What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Building Code. I'm Zach Witowicz.
And I'm Charlie Burtwistle. Huge shout out Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. Actually, I guess since this...
They may have won the Super Bowl.
They may have won it. I'm going to say right now, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions.
Oh, you're going all in.
Yeah, I'll lock it in.
I can't put a... No, I will not join you.
I'm not going to do it.
I can't. And good faith. If you're a longtime Building Code listener, you know where my loyalty is.
Yeah.
It's not with the Chiefs.
Tough year for the Bengals.
Sorry, Joe Christensen.
But, yeah. But enough of Zach's woes. We have an exciting guest today, Russ Stevens, and we're not going to let Zach's bad mood get in the way of it. One of our personal favorite guests. I know everyone in the studio is super excited to listen to
it. Nicole was giddy.
Yeah, we got it.
We got everybody in the back booth piled in.
For those of you that don't, for a little insider baseball, we have a small live audience listening to every show.
And they pretty much are just like staring at us like, be on your best behavior. Family program.
Don't ruin the interview with Rusty.
Yeah.
Big guest today.
That's right. We need handlers.
We've had him. This will be his fourth episode with us. We have him on at least once a year because they produce an incredible report that comes out annually. So we're going to talk about that. But just a fantastic guy, fantastic business mind. So I'm sure we're going to vary quite a bit outside of just the report.
Always
as well.
Do. It's a buckle up. This one is always a ride. Hey, Russ, welcome back to The Building Code, a four-timer here on The Building Code, which is an illustrious group, only a handful of people. So congratulations, big time, t-shirts in the mail, the whole shebang. How are you? It's good to see you.
I'm fantastic, thanks. And so excited to be back and hanging out with you guys. It certainly is. It's becoming a bit of an annual event now.
I know. It's kind of hard to believe that that we're actually veteran podcasters.
Yeah. You know, I was definitely fired up when I saw your name on the meeting invite.
Notice old pep in the step.
Yeah.
For old Charles.
That time for us again, our favorite time of the year. For those listeners that are perhaps a little newer to the show and haven't heard any of your previous episodes, could you just give us a little bit about your background, how you ended up co-founding the Association of Professional Builders and kind of where you're at now?
Certainly. So we started out as a marketing agency, generating leads for builders. And that would have been around about 2010, I guess, maybe a bit before then. And at that time, there was a lot of building companies, believe it or not, that didn't even have websites. So a lot of this stuff was quite new. So we were building websites. We were running campaigns on Facebook and Google. And that led us to realize that generating quality leads was only half the problem. A lot of the builders were still struggling to convert those leads, which is why we then went into sales training initially to teach builders the process really for signing high value contracts. And after having success with that, with generating the leads and then converting the leads into high margin contracts, we realized that there was still an issue in terms of time management, systemization, but most importantly, profitability, which is why we then launched the Association of Professional Builders in 2014 and just gone from strength to strength from then, just teaching builders all about business, from marketing and sales to operations and probably most importantly, financials and numbers.
Definitely. Yeah. That's why Charlie gets all fired up. He loves numbers.
I do love numbers. I also congratulations on the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's
awesome. An exact date for that?
Yes, 31st of August.
Okay. Which happens to be
anniversary. Yes.
Happens to be my birthday.
No way. Wow.
So maybe I'll fly over there and we can do kind of a joint party together to celebrate.
Like 13,
that's
going to
be some party.
No, that's very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Reason that we have you on the show today and every year is the APB report, which is one of my favorite reports. I still have last year's copy on my desk that I look at more frequently than I care to admit, because it is just filled with gold. Anytime someone starts talking about something, you know, my favorite saying is men lie, women lie, data doesn't. It's like, oh, I wonder how many builders are doing cost plus. I'm like, I can tell you exactly how many. And to just flip open to page 32, I have it bookmarked here, Association Professional Builders Report. We can
He's not even joking either. This is a real story.
Happened like last week. So for those that don't have that on their desk right now, can you give a little overview of just what that is? And why everyone should be super excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the State of the Residential Construction Industry report is now in its fourth year as well. And it's a survey that we put out to the industry, asking over 100 questions now. I think there was 114 questions covering marketing, sales, operations, financials, team, and going deep into residential building companies and only residential building companies as well. So new home companies and large remodeling companies, which keeps the data consistent. You start throwing in some commercial stuff and it kind of becomes irrelevant. So it's very, very focused on the residential construction industry. Very, very comprehensive. And like you say, it has insights that you just don't see anywhere else. Like how many builders are using cost plus contracts. And because we're now in our fourth year, we can now see the trends as well, which is probably just as important as the data, because numbers on their own, you know, are quite useful, but trends, well, that's a real insight into where this industry is heading.
That's amazing. We love to hear that, you know, that things are looking, you know, positive and they were moving. And I look at the report too, for what it's worth. I actually used it for I gave an educational talk to builders in our local Omaha remodeler chapters for like accreditation. I thought it'd be really interesting to share. And I thought some of the points that stuck out to builders were things like, you know, I spend so much time working in the business, not working on the business. Have we seen any improvement in people taking a higher level view of, you know, running the business, not just like working on the projects in the business?
Yes. Yeah. There's no question that year on year, this industry is becoming more and more professional. That is a definite trend that we've seen ever since we started collating this information. And a lot of that really is due to the systems that are now available for builders. You know, systems like Builder Trend give a builder so much insight now into their business and allow them to run their company efficiently. And that's something that just wasn't possible to the degree that they're now able to do it, you know, with software, because I think running a residential building company is so, so admin intensive. You know, when you're starting out, you almost have to maybe ignore some parts of, you know, the perfect process, because it's just not possible. With time constraints, but things like tools like Builder Trend and obviously with AI coming in as well, making it even more easier to be systemized and organized. That is all contributing to a far more professional industry. And we just need to shake off this perception, I think, by the public of what a builder is, and let them see that professional builders these days, they're not guys standing around in high vis tops with drinking out of stubbies. That might be an Australian term there, but drinking beers. But these are professionals that come together. These are professional business people. Now the industry has moved on. The perception needs to catch up.
Yeah, I agree. Even in the past, you know, since I started at Builder Trend, which is when I, 6 years ago from 2 days ago, actually.
So many anniversaries.
A ton of anniversaries. Even in the past 6 years, when I first started getting pretty heavily interested and involved and invested in the construction industry, I feel like it's been a total 180. And obviously, you know, the COVID and work from home and stuff like that, I think forced some people to make that change quicker than they originally would have. But today, and talking to, you know, two or three builders every week on the podcast here, it's been night and day from my experience, and I think it's really exciting. And we also have a note on here that this year was a record number of builders participating in the APB report, which I think speaks to being more professional, getting more involved in some of those things of nature as well. I was curious on kind of what your take was of how this continues to gain steam and traction and get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, it's largely thanks to our industry partners like Builder Trend that understand the value in collecting and sharing this information across the industry, because it does benefit builders. I think more and more companies are now coming to this realization as well and joining in the survey to get it out to their databases. And that is causing a compound effect. And coupled with APB's own growth rate as well, we've been one of Australia's 100 top 100 fastest growing companies for the last 3 years now. So that growth rate obviously means that our reach is expanding. But with the partners coming on board as well each year, that's given the survey a lot more reach. I think it was something in the region of 1,800 respondents this year, which is pretty phenomenal when you consider how many how much of their time they're committing, how many questions we're asking. But again, you know, people don't volunteer their time and submit that information unless they're getting something back. And it shows that taking part in the survey, builders get a lot back out of just doing that. It's like a self-diagnostic tool, really.
That's a great point. That's how I thought about it too. It was like, where do you stand on the where are you at in the line? You know, like how can you stack rank to the best of the best? These are all the things that you need to have to consider in order for you to be successful or professional builder. What are the things that stuck out to you? I mean, you did the report. You look at the report year over year. Sure, you've got the best insight. Like what was kind of the things that you're like, huh? Or, oh, that's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were two things that really stuck out, I think, when we collated the data at the back end of 2023 for this year's report, which is going to be launched on I believe it's the 7th of March. And that was that marketing remains a missed opportunity, and that over 92% of builders are looking at inaccurate financial reports. So I guess if we start with marketing, just to add a bit of substance to that claim that it remains a missed opportunity, 43% of builders are still neglecting Facebook. 46% of builders, only 46% of builders are using a CRM system. I mean, I can remember back in the early 2000s being drummed into us as business owners that a CRM is the lifeblood of any business. Every single business should have a CRM. Yet here we are 20 years later, still only less than half of builders are using a CRM. 38% of the builders that responded to the survey are not engaged in paid advertising. Again, I mean, referrals are great, don't get me wrong, but it's the cream on the top. If you do not have a systemized way of attracting prospects, attracting leads, that involves paying, you don't really have a business that you're in control of. You're at the mercy of your referrers. And 2/3 of builders have not written a single blog article in the past year. And we've been beating this drum for a long time now. Content marketing is the absolute key for high margin building companies. You've got to be producing great company. So, content. So I guess it was no surprise when you look at those stats that 46% of building companies said they were struggling to generate quality leads. So when you look at the fundamentals really of marketing, and not being done, it's no surprise that we're hearing so many builders struggle, which is, I guess, is a good thing as well. Like, in terms of it's a clear opportunity. You might have this problem. There's not enough leads. We're hearing it more and more now. But the solution is quite simple, and it has all been structured and laid out for you. So, the solution is there if you want to explore it. The other thing that really stood out, and it was concerning as well, and it has been a concern ever since we started the Association of Professional Builders back in 2014, and this is the financial understanding. You don't have to be a wizard at numbers, but as a business owner, let alone the owner of a residential building company with high revenue, wafer thin margins, you must be across your numbers. And every builder can be across their numbers. You're already doing estimates. You're doing something that's way too complex for your average business owner. You guys are doing that already. So you can understand what is a much simpler process. You just need to be shown, really. And that will help you to understand your numbers, because unless you understand your numbers, you can't scale safely and securely or profitably. And the one number I think that we highlight every year is that this year, the most recent data, only 7.6% of builders fully understand the work in progress calculation. Now, without this calculation, financial reports are wrong. Yeah, they cannot be produced accurately. And we say this time and time again, 90% of building companies are looking at inaccurate information. And the reason it's inaccurate is they're not doing this one, and it is simple. Yeah, this one simple calculation when you have the right calculator. So that is a big concern. So, I mean, overall, this data, that really does point to an urgent need for improved financial literacy amongst builders, particularly, like I say, in the area of that work in progress calculation, to ensure that their reporting is accurate. And that means they can then engage in sustainable business practices. Because if you just look at your cash flow, if you just look at how much money in your bank, I hate to say this, but you will fall over as soon as there are downturn, because there is a very high likelihood that you're operating a construction Ponzi scheme. Not deliberately, I'd never say that, but inadvertently, that's exactly what you're doing, unfortunately. So you have to be very, very careful in this industry.
What I really like about both of those, and I'm going to touch on them both briefly, is what you're saying is that you are surviving, but there's two huge opportunities to thrive, right? I think you had one of my favorite quotes a couple episodes ago when you talked about, like, a lot of people are resistant to change because they don't want to admit that there was an easier, better way of doing things for the past 10 years, right? It's like, we're operating on razor thin margins. We're barely making a profit, and we've barely been doing that for 20 years. It's like, we could have maybe invested a little bit earlier in marketing, or we could have invested a little bit earlier in understanding our financials. So while those are challenges and ones that, companies like Builder Trend and professional builders are trying to help solve, they're also huge opportunities. The content marketing specifically, we just had an episode 10 ago with Catherine Strife, who works here in Omaha for one of our large home builders, doing their content marketing. And we sat down with her for half an hour, just talked through all the different baby steps you can take to get into blog posts or YouTube videos or even just Instagram pictures, right? Like, really simple things. And it was an interesting interview because the same sort of tactics that people in the construction industry are taking to improve the quality of the leads are the same sort of tactics that we're taking at a tech company, right? That's why we do this podcast. Mm-hmm. That's why we write blog articles. That's why we have Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. So it's always funny when we can connect on a more direct level with the people that we're talking about, and say, hey, we're working towards the same thing too. It's an opportunity for everyone.
Yeah, and it's really interesting what you say, about that mindset of some builders being resistant to change, because what we've seen over the years, and this presents another great opportunity for a large amount of building companies, is that mindset tends to affect the larger, an inverted commas, like, more successful building companies. So I'm talking about the 50, 60, excuse me, $70 million plus building companies. They become more entrenched in their ways because they've got to that point and they're being seen as being very successful, but they just don't realize how much money that they're leaving on the table. And I guess this is where the Sourcey report can come in useful for them, because they can see that other builders are actually making more money than them. But regardless, I still speak to a lot of these guys, and they're happy with 5% net because they're doing tens of millions. But really, they're still leaving money on the table, and they're leaving a lot more money on the table, really, because to get up to 10% net on a $50 million company, that's another $2.5 million, that they previously would have left on the table. And it's no extra work either. They just need to slightly tweak their processes to achieve that. So, it's quite extraordinary how they become more set in their ways the more successful they are. And that presents a great opportunity to the small guys to be dynamic and adapt.
Russ, I'm kind of curious, you guys do this reports. Do you share it with members of the Association of Professional Builders first? Do they get the inside scoop, or is this something that anybody can access at any time, or, when it comes out?
Yeah, look, we do launch it to our members and to our partners as well. About a week ahead of going public, I think we give it to our partners a bit earlier than that. To be honest, I think you guys have already seen the data for last year, for instance. But in terms of the finished report, we give. There has to be a benefit of being a member, doesn't there? Being in the circle, so we give those guys a heads up. But yes, the report is available for every building company, and even, you know, there's a lot of interest in this report from suppliers and service providers as well because of the insights it gives. So it is free for everyone in PDF format. We used to charge originally when we launched it, I think it was close to $500, and then we brought the price down for the printed, but now we give away the PDF because it is, you know, just such useful information for everyone. We also do a printed version, and that is something that we do charge just to cover our printing costs. But a slight heads up for the members, I would say, but is available to everyone.
I love it. I mean, I just think it's interesting that you have gone about doing this, and really, as you know, I find it incredibly useful. I hope our listeners, you know, give it a look and make sure that they look it over and use it as that self-diagnostic tool to see what could you be doing in 2024. I keep saying 2023 still, it's in February. And I think when, you know, you think about builders that are growth mindset, looking for sources of information, it's a really good way to get inspiration too. Because when I looked it over, I kind of forget like all the elements that you could explore from a business investment standpoint to say, this year I really want to dial in my content marketing, you know? And in my experience with customers, it's not that they don't want to do it. They just don't even think about it.
Right.
It just isn't top of mind. Mm-hmm. And so having a source of information that kind of highlights what others are doing is extremely useful. And even for me, in my own day-to-day, that's what I do to get inspiration to help my own department and team and Builder Trend, is I go look elsewhere. I'm like, oh, they're doing this. Right. I should be doing this too. It's like FOMO. Yeah. And I'm going to go figure out a way to make it happen. So I really appreciate that the Association of Professional Builders does this and is willing to share it with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you bring up a good point, because coaches talk, don't they? But builders walk the walk. So if you can look at the data and see, well, this is what the other guys are doing. And probably another thing I'll add as well, it's not just looking at the data as to see who's doing what, but we cross-reference the data as well to demonstrate the result of what these builders do. And that's how we've been able to demonstrate to builders that 3% being invested, 3% of your turnover, your revenue, being invested into marketing and advertising, that is the sweet spot for a residential building company. Because, yeah, I know we all know this as business owners. We know the supply and demand formula, but I think when we get into our businesses, we always tend to forget that and we cut back on marketing. It's the first thing that goes. But that's clear proof that you have to be consistently reinvesting in generating more demand for your business, because when you do that, your profit margins lift, because it becomes, you know, you're less dependent, aren't you, on everyone signing up, which means you're, you know, you can push your margins up, you can be more confident in sticking to your guns, you can let people walk when they're, you know, they're not prepared to pay the price or they're trying to haggle because you've got two more, you know, waiting, you know, behind them. So by actually taking the data from the guys that do invest 3% or more into their marketing and cross-referencing that with their margins, we've been able to prove that these guys do not just have higher gross margins, after they've spent that 3%, they still have higher net margins as well. And that's the key. That's why we're all here, is to make more money.
Yeah, I think another really cool thing that I love about the report is the way you kind of split it out and segment. Like, you don't just lump all construction professionals in together. You break it out. Well, maybe I'll ask you, I remember specifically from last year, you had like home builders versus remodelers, you have Australia, New Zealand, United States, all kind of split out too. And some of them are just crazy, vastly different. I don't think we give enough thought or effort or attention to just like how different a remodeler operates their business versus a home builder. Is there anything else to add to that? Or maybe like some key things that you always kind of jump off the page to you of like, okay, these are vastly different businesses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, first of all, like you say, yes, we do break it down by country because we have builders in the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand all taking part. And everyone thinks the same thing. It's different in my country, in my state, in my city. So the first thing we do is, we break it down by country to prove that in about 95% of the instances, the data is very, very similar across all countries. There are some exceptions which are notable, safety being a big one. In the US, the adoption of safety procedures and software way, way lower than, say, New Zealand, where about something crazy like 90, 95% of builders use software to manage their safety. It's off the scale. So that's unusual in terms of country. Generally, it's very, very similar. But in terms of new homes and remodelers, what we generally see is that new home building companies are much easier to scale. So they do have generally a much higher turnover than remodeling companies, which tend to kind of tap out at the round about the $10 to $20 million mark. It becomes a lot harder to scale a remodeling company. And I think that's because there's so much more decision making that has to be made on site, which means it's either the owner or a highly skilled person has to be kind of available to do a lot of that decision making. But new homes can be a lot more systemized and subsequently scaled. But what we also see is that the margins are significantly higher for a remodeling company as well. So a new home building company, the benchmark, the target is always to have a gross markup of 33%, which is 25% margin, 15% fixed expenses, including a market salary for the owner and 3% on marketing sales. That gives them a double digit or 10% net profit. Now, a remodeling company would typically mark up by about 55 to 60, but some of the better operators with like good content marketing strategies are even higher than that. But that does give them a higher gross profit, and they'll probably end up with about 15% net. But I guess the trade-off there is that they kind of top out, whereas the new home building companies continue to be scaled. So I guess in summary, at the lower end of the revenue range, the remodeling companies are more profitable, but there's a bigger scaling opportunity for the new home building companies.
One of the things that I wanted to ask specifically, and I remember seeing this report or this data point, do you, or maybe I made it up, I shouldn't assume, do you ask about cost plus functionality, or excuse me, cost plus builders versus like contract type is what I'm trying to ask. Are you seeing any trends in people shifting their contract types as if it exists? Sorry for the poor wording of my question. But with interest rates going up, with COVID kind of ending, I'm curious if people are changing the way that they structure their contracts now.
Yeah, look, and it was a new question that we introduced. I say last year, it was 2022 that we introduced it, the 22 survey. So it became on the report last year. That was the first time. So we have missed out on spotting the trend, but our feeling at the time was that more builders were turning towards cost plus contracts at that time because of the cost escalations that we were seeing that were catching so many building companies out. And a lot of building companies thought that the cost plus was the silver bullet. And there's been lots of data and research to show that fixed price contracts are still more profitable. But you've got to be in control of your systems and processes. You've got to be getting your orders out there and locked in as soon as the contract is signed. And I do realize that during COVID, a lot of the suppliers and subcontractors weren't honoring orders, but we're now back to the point where they are. So we got a snapshot a year ago of how many builders were doing cost plus, and that did vary across countries. But what we've seen this year is a slight decline, and I think a lot of that is to do with the construction inflation easing. It's taken the pressure off. I think a lot of guys have gone into cost plus and realized just how difficult those contracts are, because from the outside, it seems like, wow, it's just you can't lose because the price is the price. But as they're now finding out, when you focus the client's mind on price, all they've got to negotiate with, yeah, they're looking at all your costs all the time and basically arguing with you. And it's become a horrendous experience for a lot of builders. So I think a lot of guys have experimented and then gone back into fixed price. But we help a lot of builders that start out doing cost plus, which is probably not such a bad strategy when you're kind of new to like custom home building, you're taking on a lot of risk there. We help them to transition into fixed price because that's where the margins are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Fascinating. I think I can tell that Zach's contemplating, we're way over time, do we need to end it? But also I'm having so much fun, we need to keep talking.
I know. Ross, we're going to have to get you on this record club, the five timer.
I was thinking, Zach, like, we just need to start being selfish and like going outside the podcast and just calling.
Yeah, Ross.
Just bothering.
Ross, we'd love to come to the Gold Coast in the summertime. The summertime of your neck of the woods.
But yeah, just thank you so much, Ross. This has been an incredible interview, as always. Very much looking forward to seeing the report. I'll make sure to purchase the hard copy and recycle the one on the desk I have right now. But thank you. Great interview, great guest, and really appreciate your time.
Wow, thank you for having me, guys. It's always great to hang out with like-minded people. I know we're a little bit weird in some people's eyes, yeah, getting excited about numbers. this is gold.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Russ. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Well, Zach, what did you think of the interview with Russ?
Thanks for asking. I'm glad that you let me go first this time.
Well, no, if you would have asked me, I would have just talked for hours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
count
on you to keep it.
Because I know this one was special. So
yeah, absolutely.
Not that they aren't all special, but some are, you know, some that Charlie comes into the studio a little more
excited.
Yeah.
A little more chipper.
That's right. And so, yeah, I love the APB report. I wasn't joking. I used it to actually like create some curriculum because I think it's really interesting. Builders who, you know, aren't maybe seeking out this information always respond really positively. So I can't wait to get my hands on it and spend some time digging deep a little bit. And Russ is always, I mean, he's an expert. So he knows everything about construction. He really understands the whole end-to-end process. I always learn a bunch. You know, it's interesting to continue to hear how a lot of the conversations around profitability in all of business are trickling into construction as well.
Yeah.
I think they've probably always been probably more prone to profitability than maybe what you and I have looked at historically in our line of work. But I think this year is going to be really good for the housing industry in the grand scheme of things. There's been a lot of challenges, you know, and with the interest rates being as high as they are, the relaxing, at least in the United States and North America, of the interest rates, you know, and I know people now that are starting to look for new homes more than, you know, the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm really positive. I'm bullish on what residential construction is going to look like in 2024 for what my opinion's worth. What about you?
Well, I locked in the Chiefs Super Bowl pick at the beginning, so I got my prediction out of the way.
Perfect. Yours is a little safer.
Yeah, a little safer. No, I agree. I think it's going to be a big year, and I think that the data shows that. I also think that what I love about the report and what I brought up to Russ is even if it isn't a good year from outside factors, there are things and opportunities that you can be taking advantage of to weather that storm, not just weather it, but thrive in it.
Yeah.
And the APB report is a perfect tool to kind of guide you towards what those opportunities are. Is it marketing spend? Is it, do you have your margins dialed in? Is it, you know, how you're adjusting your estimates and building these different things out. So definitely check it out. I'm sure we'll have it linked in the show notes.
Oh,
if not, you can email me directly and I'll send you the link.
He'll mail you a paid copy.
Yeah, maybe. The first person that emails me, because I'll have exactly one. But no, it's going to be great. I'm excited to see it when it comes out. And Russ was an absolute pleasure, as always.
He'll be back. No doubt. Talk about our future, you know, engagements, because we're going to be doing things at IBS. So
yeah,
it's going to be really exciting.
It'll be great. I'll have to have someone FaceTime me so I can watch that live.
I'll get your picture.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Signed by Russ.
That's a great reminder. Does this episode come out before IBS? No. So that just happened.
Yep.
How was it, Zach?
It was fantastic. I got you a signed picture.
Thank you. As always, I'm Charlie Burtwistle.
I'm Zach Witowicz.
This is The Building Code. We will see you next time.